Red Eye is a program of alternative politics and culture which broadcasts live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM and around the world at cooperadio.org. Here's Lorraine Chisholm.
Phthalates are a large group of industrial chemicals. Studies have linked them to birth defects and cancer. Their biggest use is in the plastics industry, where they're added to vinyl to make it pliable. But they're also used extensively in cosmetics. Health activists have long argued that this use should be regulated. Last month, three major U.S. cosmetics companies announced that they were going to follow European law on phthalates and other chemicals and eliminate them from their products. Jeannie Rizzo is executive director of the Breast Cancer Fund. The Breast Cancer Fund is a founding member of the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. And Jeannie joins me on the line this morning from Tiburon, California. Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning.
Now, I want to just talk about the companies that have, the U.S. companies that announced they're going to follow European law about these ingredients. What companies are they?
Well, Revlon has agreed to do that. And there are some that are still debating with us as to whether or not they're going to fully comply with it. But so we've got Unilever is looking at it and is pretty much agreeing to, and L'Oreal. That's not a U.S. company, but it's a multinational company. And the others are in communication with us. We have about 60 companies that are smaller natural products in the class of natural products companies that have agreed to not only reformulate, but to look at all the chemicals in their products.
Mm. So it sounds like maybe the smaller companies were leading the way rather than the larger ones.
Absolutely. Absolutely leading the way. I think that there are more complex issues for the bigger companies, including the American Chemistry Council and the Cosmetics, Toiletry, and Fragrancy Association in this country that are putting a lot of pressure for them to hold the line.
Okay. How much of the cosmetics market do these companies that are considering the change, how much do they represent?
Well, if the big companies do, we're at about a third of the market of the big companies. It's about a $39 billion industry. So you've got, looking at L'Oreal, Revlon, Unilever, we've got a very significant dent. And there are about 12 major companies that control about 85 or 90% of the market.
Now, I understand that you've been working on this issue for a long time and asking the companies to do just this. What do you think that tipped the balance here where you're starting to at last see some results?
I think there were a couple of things. One, they began to realize that our campaign was serious. And when the industry meeting, the big U.S. industry meeting in New York happened last year, we took out full-page ads in USA Today. It was delivered to all of their hotel rooms and at their conference, and basically calling them out by name, calling out the companies that had not yet agreed or responded to us. I think the European Union having a cosmetics directive gave us the leverage that we needed.
And now, are the companies talking about eliminating these chemicals from products available elsewhere or just in Europe?
Well, they're obliged to eliminate them in Europe. Our question is, are you going to eliminate them everywhere you sell them? Will you reformulate the products and make them available globally so that wherever it is that you distribute them or manufacture them, for example, L'Oreal has plants in the United States where they make the L'Oreal products that they sell in the U.S., and I'm sure that the same is true for Canada. I don't know that you import complete finished products. You might very well have plants in Canada that are manufacturing products with a formula provided to them by that company. And so the question is, will you insist on a formula that is free of these chemicals wherever it is you manufacture or sell them? And they're not necessarily doing that. Those companies have said, the three that I mentioned, that they will do that around the world, wherever it is that they manufacture or sell them.
Now, let's look at the products themselves. What are these chemicals, the phthalates, used for in cosmetics?
Well, they're used to make nail polish more stay on. It's a hardening and elasticizing kind of, there are different phthalates, there's a whole class of them, but The things that make your nail polish stay on longer, that makes your lipstick stay on longer. There are things called penetration enhancers that make that cream that you put on literally go deeper into your skin so it stays softer longer. So there's a whole range of phthalates and other synthetic chemicals that are in products to, in quotes, enhance their performance.
Yes, and I guess that's a big part of when there is cosmetics marketing. A lot of it has to do with this kind of texture and luster and the last and so on and so forth. So that's how they kind of see their market edge with this, with these different sophisticated chemicals that are supposed to, you know, make their products better.
I think you make the perfect point. And so the question is, can we create a market demand that says, I want you to market to me products that are safer? Right. And that's a priority for me, and I'll be really more happy with a brand that does that than one that lets my lipstick stay on all day.
Right. What are the dangers that are associated with phthalates in particular?
Well, they're associated with breast cancer and other cancers and very, very strongly linked to reproductive problems. This whole campaign really originated back with a group that did something called Not Too Pretty, which was a report on phthalates. So people can visit the Environmental Working Group's website and look at both the Not Too Pretty report as well as the Skin Deep report that is on this campaign. But this all started with looking at phthalates and realizing the incredible reproductive harm that they're causing. Mm-hmm. And to men. So the question that was asked then was, are your personal care products giving him problems, you know, lowering his sperm count, creating all kinds of reproductive issues, male reproductive issues?
Are these the only chemicals in cosmetics that we need to be concerned about?
No. There's probably about 10,000 different ingredients and about 1,400 really bad carcinogens, mutagens, and reproductive toxins that very well can be present in your various products. There's chemicals that have never been tested. So what the Skin Deep report did, which is on our safecosmetics.org website, is it took 7,500 personal care products and ran them through the database of known carcinogens, mutagens, and toxins, allergens, all kinds of harmful chemicals that have been listed on world lists that are respected around the world as being harmful chemicals, and, you know, found huge numbers and high percentages of, you know, one out of every 10 products had a carcinogen in it. So it's not just the phthalates by any means at all.
And would the EU law cover these other chemicals as well? Because from what you described, it sounds like a lot of different chemicals.
The European Union law covers carcinogens, mutagens, and reproductive toxins on something that they call their CMNR 1 and 2 lists. It's a start. What the Safe Cosmetics campaign is calling for is to go beyond that, to do an evaluation of all chemical ingredients, many of which we have no way of knowing what they are because they are protected by trademark.
Right.
Really hard to find out what's in a fragrance. Unless you test the fragrance yourself, because they don't have to tell you the ingredient in it. So there's untested chemicals, and there are chemicals of concern that have been identified in the United States and probably other lists in Canada, that we're asking companies to go beyond that to sign what's called a compact for safe cosmetics. And what they would do is they would evaluate every chemical. And if there's not evidence and proof that it's safe, then it doesn't go in the product.
So you're talking about approaching it from a precautionary principle there, where the onus would be on the companies to
Absolutely.
Prove that it was safe.
Absolutely. That's our ideal, that you would look at everything. If you can't prove it's safe, if it's not an ingredient that has absolutely been proven to be safe to health and the environment, then it has no business being in discretionary products.
Right.
And that's basically how we do, you know, personal care products.
Absolutely.
These are not products that... You know, you have to make a decision if you have cancer to have a chemotherapy treatment when you know that the chemotherapy in itself is cancer-causing. Well, that's a different set of choices than it is should you have lead in your lipstick.
Absolutely. Now, the chemical industry says that its products use very small amounts of these chemicals and that they don't pose a danger. What's your response to that?
Well, our response is that that is that dose-response argument that the chemical industry has protected itself with over the years. So, no, one application of nail polish is not the issue, and I'm probably not going to drink a whole bottle of it, but I'm living in a chemical soup. I'm using 10 to 20 products a day, every day, for many, many years, and I'm having multiple exposures just in the category of personal care products, but beyond that to all the other exposures. So the responsibility for your contribution to the cumulative exposure to these chemicals is what we're saying the industry and the regulators of industry, which are our governments, need to take responsibility for.
Is the use of phthalates regulated in the U.S.?
In California, we've banned a couple of phthalates. There are different, in Washington State, there's a tremendous effort on phthalates. There's not a U.S. ban on phthalates, no.
I understand that in one study of 1,000 people, every single person had phthalates in their blood and urine. So nobody, you don't have to necessarily wear makeup to...
Absolutely. Phthalates are ubiquitous. They're in all kinds of plastics. And I just, you know, like, don't microwave your food in a plastic container, for example. Plastic, the use of phthalates from IV tubing in hospitals to products that you use every day to the plastic bags that you get, you know, your produce in the grocery store. I mean, it's just, they're everywhere.
Now, you mentioned Not Too Pretty and Healthcare Without Harm have done their own studies. Are they, so do we actually know what chemicals are in these things, or is that still a bit in cosmetics?
We know a significant number of chemicals that are present in personal care products. There are a number of chemicals that are protected, again, as I said, under the fragrances and trade secrets that we don't know. But if you go to the Skin Deep report for the products that we've been able to find their ingredients for, and that's not always the easiest thing in the world, sometimes we have to write product by each a letter to the company asking for the ingredients of L'Oreal's nail polish, color, you know, whatever it is. And then we get the list of ingredients and we run it through the report. So it's been a tremendous effort on our part to do that, to get all the ingredients. But we do know a lot of them, and you can actually look up your product and it will tell you what the ingredients are, and it will tell you how it's ranked as a carcinogen or mutagen, or if it's untested, if the ingredient in there is untested.
Where do we go with this as consumers to protect ourselves, but also to pressure the companies?
Well, I think that we found that there's letter-writing campaigns that have gone to the companies asking them, telling them how important it is to you that they at least meet the minimum standards set by the European Union, and what are they doing about getting these chemicals out. I think we do it by what we buy and don't buy. So you go to the Skin Deep report and you look for your product and you begin to understand what the harmful chemicals are, and you make conscious decisions not to buy those products. There's all kinds of activism and grassroots work happening here in this country. We've had businesses that have said, okay, if you come and bring your bad product and throw it in this barrel, we'll give you a discount on a good product that you're about to walk into the store and buy. Or we've had people go and say, I want a refund on this product because I didn't know it had a carcinogen in it. You know, there's that kind of grassroots. And there's also whatever government agencies, and I'm sorry that I don't know what the equivalent of our FDA, our Federal Drug Administration, Food and Drug Administration, does not oversee cosmetics. It only bans 9 chemicals from cosmetics. So we have very poor regulation here. I don't know what the regulation is in Canada, but to find out what that is and to say, we want you to regulate these things. We want you to, if they can make these products in France and all over Europe, then they can be done. They've found alternatives for it.
Well, Jeannie, I really appreciate your joining me this morning, and it sounds like all the hard work that you guys have been doing is starting to yield some results, but there's a lot more to pay attention to.
It's here. Really exciting. Thank you for having us.
Okay, take care.
Mm-hmm.
I've been speaking with Jeannie Rizzo. She's the executive director of the Breast Cancer Fund, a founding member of the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics, and she was speaking with me this morning from Tiburon, California.
You've been listening to Red Eye, a program produced by an alternative media collective in Vancouver, Canada. Red Eye broadcasts live every Saturday morning from 9 until noon and can be heard around the world at cooperadio.org.